But now we have a really beautiful video recorded by Jared Van Berkel and his team in Fantale Studios. A fairly recent ministry to develop, based out at Rangiora. Good, wonderful young man, Jared, and a good friend, very dear friend. And they've got this whole vision of just recording testimonies, producing programs of broadcast quality. And they've got this testimony they've recorded of Luke Bowler, wonderful man, part of a church. And if you don't know Luke, you'll be really blessed by his testimony. A very, very dear young man. And just a short testimony of something, of some of the things that God's done in his life. Powerful story. Thank you so much for producing it, Jared, and your team. Take it away with Luke's testimony. God bless you.
I'm Luke Bowler. I was born in Invercargill. My parents split up when I was about 4 years old. At my mum's house, life was sheltered. And then we'd go up and see my dad in the holidays, where usually a lot of the time we'd be at the pub. I had a real, like, craving to just be close to my dad, so I moved up to Wanaka and started to become a tradesman at the age of 16, which is where I just found addiction. I dropped into drinking every day, smoking weed every day, started dabbling with ecstasy, acid, whatever would sort of come my way. And over those years of addiction, I just went job to job to job, place to place, on the run from the cops, parties, girls, fights, drama. I was in and out of prison 4 times on that journey. My last night in prison was where I encountered the Lord. For me, there was no belief in God. There was no real belief in spirituality, nothing. I was just a lost, broken mess. And all of a sudden, I had a demon show up next to me that physically threw me into the wall. I was terrified. I jumped in my bunk and just sat there bawling my eyes out. The presence of the Lord hit, and my whole cell turned into like a white light. All I heard God say was, "You're an alcoholic, you're going to be free and you're going to change people's lives." And from there, it was a process. It was a real uphill battle of falling in and out of alcohol and drugs. And all God said to me was Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's where I went. Even though God had taken me to AA, I was still against Jesus. I knew God was real, but Jesus wasn't there. I had a business by this stage, so life was going good. From there, I'd be walking around the cafe, and I'd walk up to people, and I'd just be like, "Hey bro, here's your coffee, da da da." They'd be like, "Hey man, blah blah blah, I'm a pastor at this church." And I'd walk off, and I'd be like, "I'm not going to church, God, I don't want to go to church." But it happened time and time and time again. So finally I opened up my heart to speak to a pastor. He showed up at the cafe and we started walking around. I just poured out my heart, my journey, all the encounters, all these things that had happened to me. And I knew he understood what I was saying. I freaked out. I drove out to my drug dealer's house, got a bag of weed, drove back to my mum's where I was living, still processing the day, and chop it all up. And I sit there and I have one bong, nothing happens. 2 bongs, nothing happens. Go to have a third and hear clear as day, throw that away and follow me. I freak out, I jump up, I throw everything over the neighbour's fence, the bong, the weed, the lot. I sat down. Presence of the Lord smashes me again, and some guy had given me a Bible, opened it to where Jesus was being walked to the cross, and the words were literally coming off the page and just hitting me. Where it got through to where Jesus re-rose, it got so intense that I can't really put it into words. I dropped forward and just started to weep, and then the page blew over and it had my name, Luke, at the top of the page. And then I heard a voice say, "You're now sitting at my table." And in that moment, everything changed. My old self fell off. I didn't struggle. I had everything that I'd ever looked for. And it just come to me. Like, I don't deserve it. None of us do, but he's that good. He is all any of us need. And he loves us so much. I'm done, eh?
Father, I want to thank you for that testimony of Luke's. Lord, and just the power of your, the power of your rescue. The way you reach out to us when we're broken, when we are destitute, when we're absolutely void of anything that could be called life, really. And you reached out to Luke in that place. And Lord, you started to lead him on a journey. And Lord, we've only just heard a tiny part of the amazing things you've done in your life, in his life, in this testimony. But Lord, I just want to thank you for the goodness, for the power, for your great kindness. Lord, there is nobody too lost. You can't reach into their lives. If none of us can get to a place where we're so lost that you can't reach into our lives and save us. So Father, today, by your Spirit, we thank you that you're moving in our nation. You're moving up and down this nation, reaching into lives that have been so broken, so damaged, so hellish in that sense. But Lord, your love and your compassion and your mercy is reaching out right at this time. Right at this time where many have been experiencing anxiety and pressures and reevaluating what life is all about. Lord, I thank you right now that every heart that's open, in Jesus' name, that by your power, by your presence, by your love, Lord, you would reach into their lives, just as you've reached into our lives, and you continue to reach into our lives. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the opportunities that we're living in amongst right now. We thank you for the opportunities of openness to your love and your presence, and to the most amazing message, the message of your gospel, the truth. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank you so much for leading us on that, Rob. God bless you. Thanks so much. Thank you, Luke. If you want to go to our website, we're going to be posting that video of Luke's testimony on our website, as well as the beautiful one that was done with Anne Morrow. Amazing part of her story. And there's some others we're going to be posting as well. And Jared's doing such a fantastic job, and we're going to post those so you can be blessed by them. So if the internet connection for you wasn't so strong this morning, you didn't pick up what Luke was saying as well as would have been good to, then you're most welcome to go into our website and just view that again. God bless you. I want to share some things this morning regarding accessing heaven's wisdom.
Oh.
And if there was ever a time we need to access his wisdom, it's now.
Amen.
And, you know, there's a lot of things being said. A lot of things being sought. I've got plenty of thoughts myself. Some things I wouldn't say publicly. That's just how it is. And because wisdom would tell me that some things are not worth speaking publicly or putting into public forum.
Yeah.
Because I might find out that I'm wrong. And I can't retract that.
Mm.
And so it's always good to be wise with what we put on the internet. So we're really needing, we're really needing wisdom right now for our personal lives, for business decisions and strategies, for leadership roles, for personal relationships, because how many people know there's been a bit of pressure and a bit of tension for many, and we just really need wisdom for that. There's a number of sources of wisdom, as we know. The general meaning of wisdom would simply be this. It would be the quality of having experience, of having knowledge, and good judgment. And when we see somebody or we know somebody that's got experience, knowledge on a subject and good judgment, we would say that person has the quality of having wisdom. And I would much rather walk with a person who has knowledge, experience and good judgment than, as Dave Riddell would say, the great counselor would say, walk with the inner idiot. most of us, I can't speak for everybody, but most of us have had experiences where we've allowed the inner idiot to have its way, or we've been influenced by the inner idiot. And I just think that's funny. So that's why I said it. Yeah. Anyway. So there's a range of sources of wisdom, and I want to share a few key points this morning on how to access heaven's wisdom, God's wisdom, because God's wisdom is beyond the realm of human wisdom. It's well beyond the realm of demonic wisdom, which we'll talk about very briefly. It's the dimension of wisdom that's supernatural, if we want to use that language. It is beyond just our human ability to access on a regular basis. It is an impartation of God. It's a gift of God. It's part of His understanding in a situation, His understanding of what to do, how to act, what decisions to make in any given situation. When you think that God is a creator of all things, we're still trying to come to terms with the magnificence and the expanse of the universe, for instance, the absolute magnificence of the micro world, the things that actually help everything work, and the forces and the powers that are involved. We're still learning and still trying to understand that. And yet God established all that way before we ever had a brain to think. Mm. And the word says that He holds all things together with the word of His power. And so that force that holds all nature together and holds the atomic realm, everything together, is actually the power of God. And that's His wisdom. God's wisdom is so magnificent, so beyond the power of humans to fully grasp, and yet the word says we actually have access to that wisdom. Mm. It's a phenomenal privilege that believers have. And so I want to share a little bit, just a few principles. There's human wisdom that's gained through just the human, your regular human sources. That's life experience, trial and error, research, the learning from other people who have made mistakes and found something to work. All of our society basically is built on accumulated knowledge, accumulated wisdom. How to survive in the wilderness for years on end is all because somebody has accumulated wisdom that's passed that on to us. But the problem we have sometimes is there's sometimes a disconnect with how we feel emotionally, mm-hmm. the emotions that rise up in us, and they can rise up very suddenly with a piece of news or something that's impacting us. And if there's a disconnect between how we're feeling and what we're thinking and the realization of the repercussions those actions will have, if there's a disconnect, then that will be a manifestation of the lack of wisdom. Wisdom is where we have what we're thinking, what we're feeling, but then we have got a connection between the possible repercussions of that decision, and then we look at that, we examine that. It may only be for a moment that we examine it, but we make a decision based on, if I do this, it's going to end up with this repercussion. And if that's a bad repercussion, I'm best not to do that. That's actually wisdom. Mm. And Dave Riddell talks about this issue of a developmental problem, where if that part of the brain which handles the emotions, the thinking, or the emotions, the feelings, isn't connected to the part of the brain which thinks about repercussions, and we've got a disconnect there, then we've got a major problem with a lack of wisdom.
Yeah.
And so on this day right now, when there's all sorts of voices, all sorts of information, and the bulk of us cannot always trace the sources of those information, how accurate they are, how well-founded they are, whether they're coming from official sources or internet sources or whatever. This is the case. There's so many sources of information, so many messages that are impacting us. So it's good to actually take time to process, if I act on this way, what could be the repercussions of that? If I post this on the internet, what could be the repercussions of that? If I base my big decisions in life on that information, what will be the repercussions of that? Because plenty of stuff is out there that we don't know the source of. Yeah. And that's actually always been the case. Mm-hmm. People talk about fake news. There's always been fake news. Mm-hmm. The garden, Satan, or Lucifer in the garden, that was fake news.
Yeah.
Humans have always had the problem with fake news.
Yeah.
So there's nothing new about it. It hasn't been invented with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or any election campaign of recent decades. It's fake news has always been with us. So the wisdom to discern between fake news and what is true is a really good thing to have. But in amongst it all, there is somebody who's true.
Yes.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
Jesus is truth manifest. He's truth personified. He's truth outworked. He's the eternal word. So in amongst all of the voices, in amongst all of the emotions, the feelings, the things that can rise up pretty quickly and get you pretty fired up, either anxious or angry or something, in amongst it all, there is one who is truth and there's one who is wisdom. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. None of this has taken him by surprise. None of it whatsoever. And so I want to walk in such a way that I'm not allowing any inner idiot. And you've been married to me for 39 years, so you know that there is one.
I'm trying not to laugh.
And you know that there is one. And the less I'm influenced by that inner idiot, the better, right? Sorry, I just gotta calm myself down. And I'd rather walk with the person who is truth than be influenced by the inner idiot.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
Proverbs 14 says it really well. Proverbs 14:17. We might lose this live stream though.
Just keep going.
Proverbs 14:17, New King James Version says, a quick tempered man acts foolishly. And a man of wicked intentions is hated.
Mm-hmm.
The simple, or the person who lacks understanding, and the simple inherit folly, they inherit foolishness. But the prudent, the wise, mm-hmm. the ones who govern themselves well and act wisely are crowned with knowledge. So a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Most of us, and I'm talking to men here, most of us have probably been in situations where an emotion rises up, a thought, an idea, a way of thinking sort of gets established, and it stirs emotions in such a way that if we acted on those, we could be in trouble pretty quickly. I could tell you a number of stories of moments where I acted too quickly on something, acted on an emotion that welled up in a moment. And because I acted on that, I actually put myself in quite vulnerable situations. And I think in many of them, it was by the kindness of God that the thing didn't unfold the way it could have.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd been very merciful, being very kind. So a quick-tempered man is a man who doesn't actually have connection, good connection, between his emotional response to things and his ability to think through what are the repercussions of this. That's a quick-tempered man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he acts foolishly. So today is not a day to be guided by being quick-tempered. It's not a day to be guided by pure emotion alone. I am all for genuine zeal, genuine passion, genuine dedication to the gospel, genuine dedication to the cause that we're called to. I'm all for dedication to that and moving forward. But I would say this, I am not for people acting foolishly out of being quick-tempered or not considering the repercussions of their words or their actions. Jesus, even when he sent the 12 or the 70 out, he talked about being wise as serpents,
mm-hmm.
but gentle as doves.
Mm-hmm.
So There's wisdom in being clever, but being gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have another source of wisdom. It's called demonic wisdom. In James chapter 3 verse 13 to 17, we just read this New King James Version. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Question mark. Let him or her show by good conduct that his works or her works are done in the meekness of wisdom or in the power of wisdom or in the oversight of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly, it is sensual, it is demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle, it is willing to yield, willing especially to yield to the wisdom of God and to the word of God. Full of mercy and good fruits. It is without partiality and without hypocrisy. So right now in the world today, we have many voices. We have many things being said. We have many agendas at play. I have my own thoughts on some of these things. I have my own suspicions. I have my own concerns. But amongst it all, I want the agenda of heaven.
Amen.
And regardless of what humans are doing, regardless of what governments are doing, regardless of what political philosophies or the outworking of political philosophies are trying to do, regardless of the origin of that, there is one agenda that I'm interested in, and it's the agenda of heaven. It's the wisdom of heaven. The agenda of heaven is seeking and saving the lost. It is not creating environments where the lost are confused. It is speaking a word that is clear. It is a clarion call. It's a clear call. It's the clear gospel. It's not a confused gospel with all the other agendas mixed in with it. Talking about this, talking about that, trying to, is this a man-made thing? Is this a political agenda thing? Is this just a tragedy that's unfolding and governments are trying to grapple with? Whatever it is, there is an agenda and heaven's agenda, and we've got to be clear on that, on heaven's agenda. We've got to be clear on heaven's message so that heaven's message goes forth and cuts through all of the slack, all of the anxiety, all of the fear that people are experiencing, accesses the heart. And when faith takes root in the heart because of that message coming to them, something is going to happen out of their mouth and salvation is going to start to take place. So I'm really interested in heaven's agenda.
Amen. That's good.
That's the agenda I care about, most of all. And so there could be self-seeking in it. There is confusion amongst it. That wisdom's not coming from heaven. The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure. It's not a mixed message. It's pure. It's not mixed in agenda. It's pure. It's not mixed in motive, it's pure. It's not mixed in morality, it's pure. It's not mixed in whether it wants to control other people's lives in an ungodly way, it's pure. So the wisdom from heaven is pure. Then it is peaceable. It looks for the way to bring peace in a situation quicker than it does to bring a fight. I can fight. I can fight. And there's things I do fight. And there's fights I've entered into that by the power of God I've won. And it's always, it's a good feeling when you win. Really good feeling. I like winning. Janet likes winning too. She's actually really competitive.
I am.
When we play cards and she's winning, she shows no mercy. Doesn't matter what the score is. No matter how big the score is, she shows no mercy. If my score gets too big over Janet, I start to feel sorry for her. Not Janet. She's so competitive. Anyway, a little insight there. So.
Back to the notes.
Yeah. Then it's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. Willing to yield to the will of God. Willing to yield to the proper God-ordained authorities. But there comes a time, and even in scripture, where we see that the God who gained authority started to act outside their dominion. Just thought I'd mention that. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It doesn't say one thing, put on somebody else one thing, but then behave differently. So we're really interested in God's wisdom, though. In James chapter 1, verse 25, because we have access to it. It's amazing. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 5, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, or mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him. It'll be given to her. What a beautiful statement. This is James, or Jacob, proper name. This is James. This is Jesus' younger brother. This is Jesus' half-brother. This is James, who initially thought Jesus, his older brother, had gone mad and just wanted to take him home and settle him down. But this is James, who had to cross all of those bridges and come to the place where he recognized his older brother, his mother's firstborn, was actually the promised Messiah and God in the flesh. That's a big jump.
Yeah.
There's no way I would be convinced of that of any of my brothers. I love them as much as they do. But for me to come to a place for one of my brothers to be thought of as the Messiah or the Savior of the world, that ain't happening. And neither of them for me. Yeah. But this is Jake. So he wrote this by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation. Excuse me. It's a little bit expanded. We'll read to you from verse 5. The Passion Translation, by Dr. Brian Simmons and his team. And if anyone longs to be wise, we really do need to be wise right now. Okay? We really do need to be wise right now. If any of you longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it. Simple. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm.
See, sometimes we a lot of past failures can be in our face or in our mind, in our hearts, and we think, well, it's so disqualified us from really asking for God, because after all, we've had these other things we may have messed up in life. But here, James, Jesus' younger brother, is telling us that if anyone lacks wisdom or longs to be wise, ask God and he will give it. He won't see our lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold us.
Mm.
He won't go, I told you so. Or, oh yeah, sure. Well, look what you did last time. Look what you did then. Look what you did some other time. And then use that as an opportunity to scold us. He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
He's going to give us the wisdom we need. And he says it this way. He said, but he will overwhelm our failures with his generous grace. So even if we've messed up in the past, now we're saying, God, I need your wisdom. We're humbling ourselves. We're yielding to him. We're saying, Father, I see my lack of wisdom, but Lord, I need your wisdom, and I believe you've got it for me. Lord, I ask for that wisdom now in Jesus' name, and I believe I receive it right into my spirit, right into my heart. Lord, when right at the moment I need that wisdom, I'm believing right now you're going to give it to me. And then you walk into that situation believing that you're going to receive wisdom.
Mm.
That's how I approach it. Verse 6, just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith, without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person, or the person who keeps changing their mind, the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute, tossed down the next. When you're half-hearted and wavering, it leaves us unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? Quite a rebuke, isn't it? That's one of the things I love about James. He's straight to the point. He's not afflicted with the disease of political niceness. He says it straight to the point. If we're going to ask God for wisdom, let's believe we're going to receive it. Let's believe with a confidence of faith that God wants us to receive his wisdom, which is beyond the scope and the limitations of human wisdom. And we can receive that wisdom right into our minds, right into our spirit, right into our inner being at any moment. But let's believe, let's pray and believe we're going to receive it without doubting, without up and down, emotional roller coaster. Are we getting wisdom? Are we not? Will he give it to us? Will he not? Because that'll just make us as unstable as a wind-tossed sea, and we'll be unstable in any way. And it just means it's very difficult to make headway with any stability, with any clarity. So here's just a few very quick points. Number one, God has wisdom for us. If you're a new covenant believer, or you're not yet, you'll have the opportunity to do so at the end of this message. God has wisdom for you, and it's his wisdom. It's heaven's wisdom.
Yeah.
It may come through an earthly channel, through another human being. It may come through a book, but ultimately it's actually sourced from his wisdom. It can drop it straight into your spirit, right into your spirit. Right. He can do it through a dream. He can do it through a vision. He can do it through the word written on pages or on a digital device. He can do it through very wise counsel that's moved upon by the Holy Spirit. There are many avenues of that. But when we ask for it, we can ask confident that he's got that wisdom for us. Whatever the realm we need the wisdom in, and the words say, he will give it to us.
Mm.
He will give it to us.
Mm.
Number two, he's not going to look for faults, for past faults. He's not going to look for past failures. Sometimes we do just have to get over ourselves. Sometimes we're just our own worst enemy.
Mm.
Our memories of our past failures are the roadblock that we're putting in place for ourselves. God's not putting that roadblock there. He's dealt with them in Christ.
Very good.
Mm. He's already actually put them away. He's already forgotten them. He doesn't want them there. We often have them there. And so we have to get over ourselves and actually forgive ourselves. And know that actually God will not pick up on past faults, not pick up on our past failures, and therefore withhold wisdom from us. That's his third point. He's got wisdom for us, number two. He will give it to us, number two. The first one was number one, wasn't it? Number three is he's not going to pick up faults from the past and withhold it from us. And number four, we ask in faith, believing. Not believing 1 minute, doubting the next. Believing, doubting, believing, doubting, believing, doubting. We ask and we believe we've received and will receive, and that settles it. 4 points. Now that will apply in business and relationships and your walk with the Lord in every dimension of life. That will apply. God has got wisdom for you. Look at me. Look into my eyes. The slits I know, but I can see out of them. God has got wisdom for you. God has got wisdom for you. I'm going to say it again. Whatever your situation right now, your Heavenly Father, God has got wisdom for you. That's knowledge, understanding, and the knowledge of what to do. He's got wisdom for you.
Yeah.
Father, right now, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, as every person has watched this today or in the days ahead. Father, right now, I just thank you that we come into agreement right now. We need wisdom as leaders. We need wisdom as a local church. We need wisdom as citizens of this nation. We need wisdom as business people, as employees and employers, all of those dimensions in our relationships and our parenting. Lord, in our budgeting, we need wisdom. Father, we ask for that wisdom to be released to us, that your handiwork would be seen in our lives, that your name would be glorified in us, and that we'd be able to make progress, not as the earth gives it, not as human anxiety gives it, not as earthly or even demonic agenda gives it, but as heaven gives it. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. My friend, you can pray that any time you want. Anytime you need wisdom, you ask God, you ask him. I'm just going to pray right now and just lead you in a prayer if you would like to. An invitation to receive Christ into your life, to receive the author of wisdom, the one who is wisdom made flesh, the word of God made flesh. Also, we have children starting school.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, is that right?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Like your children starting school. So we'll also pray. I'll pray that first, but for the children and the school, but also, and parents, but also I want to lead people in an invitation to receive Christ. Father, right now, we just thank you for, Lord, every school that are starting back tomorrow. Every child that's going back, every parent that is sending their child back to a school environment. We just thank you that wisdom would be very powerfully present for teachers, for school management, for parents, and gift children with wisdom. Gift our children with wisdom, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let them have wisdom beyond the years.
Mm-hmm.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And right now, if you want to receive Christ today, you want to receive him into your life, you want to receive Jesus into your life and become a follower of Christ and become part of the family of God, receive the gift of life, your sins forgiven, pray with me today. Father, today I thank you for Jesus, your word made flesh. I thank you that he came to be my savior, the one who died for me, the one who was raised from the dead for me, the one who became sin for me. Lord, I thank you that he took all the punishment I deserved. Today, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I confess that I believe that Jesus is your son, that he is the Lamb of God, that he is the Savior of the world, and that he's been raised from the dead and he's seated with you. Jesus, come into my life. Be my leader, be my Lord, be my Savior. Take all of my sin and I receive your life. I receive eternal life right now. Thank you for making me your child. Thank you for welcoming me into your family. Lord, make me part of your great church on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you prayed with me. Love you to be in contact with us. Receiving Christ is not just a lone solitary thing that we have a lone solitary journey from then on. God's will for you is that you become part of a family of believers, that they would help you grow, but also eventually you would help other people and help other people grow. And you would become part of his great family forever. So don't try and do it alone. Please connect with us. There's a email address you can write there, saved@lwcc.org.nz. We'd love to be in contact with you, and we'd love to get to know you and help you.
Yeah.
God bless you. If you did say yes to this salvation invitation today, feel free to respond on the live stream and just say yes. Give your details. We'll be in contact with you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. If you're going to join us in the Zoom lounge, see you soon. Have an awesome life. God bless you.